Millions of people are investing in the stock market blindly. Are you one of them? Do you feel like your investment plan is a lost cause and too confusing? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Ron DeLegge's Portfolio Report Card will help you. Go to etfguide.com and find out if your current investment mix passes or flunks. Ron DeLegge will help you to identify and correct any weaknesses in your IRA, 401k plan, or regular investment account. Go to etfguide.com to get your free Portfolio Report Card.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
All right, welcome to the program. Coming up on today's show, we'll be talking alternative investments. We'll also be talking highly liquid institutional style alternative investments, leveraged ETFs, Andy O'Rourke of Direction Funds, Direction Investments, coming up in a little bit. We'll be talking with him about some of their lineup and some areas within your own portfolio that you may have missed. So stay tuned for that. Also coming up, I'll be giving you an update on the situation in Russia and Ukraine. Actually, Ukrusha, as I call it. Pretty much that's what it's become. So we'll give you a quick update on Ukrusha and what's going on over there in Europe. And also, of course, the main point here is what's happening in financial markets. We'll get you caught up on some of the key areas. Also, on today's show, a portfolio report card for JP in Virginia. He and his wife are 51 years old. They've got a $1.2 million investment account. It's divided in three different areas, or three different accounts, I should say. Fidelity 401k plan, and then a TD Ameritrade Roth IRA, and a TD Ameritrade joint account. So we'll be looking at all the details of JP's investment portfolio. We'll give you the breakdown of what some of the holdings are. We'll get into the cost of those investments, the taxes, the diversification, risk, and of course, performance. And then at the end of today's show, I will give JP's portfolio a final grade, A, B, C, D, or F. And of course, A or B are the best of scores. And of course, if the JP gets a C, D, or F, obviously some work needs to be done on that portfolio. There's a lot of weaknesses in its design. So we'll see if JP's able to get an A on today's show, and of course, if he does, that means I pay him $100. So if you'd like to join the conversation and talk about any particular stocks, mutual funds, ETFs, or investment strategies, 877-711-5611. That is the number. Give us your first name along with your city. You can also email the show, ron@indexshow.com. You can tweet me live at Index Show. And, of course, you can catch my daily articles along with my newsletter at etfguide.com. Well, let's take a quick gander and see what happened in financial markets this past week. Spanish debt, now we're talking 10-year government debt. The yield on that debt, now less than U.S. 10-year treasuries. It's incredible. So this shows you, once again, the dynamics of the debt market, that investors, or should I say gamblers, are willing to give the Spanish government, willing to lend them money for 10 years and have the Spanish government pay them a lower yield than they would with similar length debt or maturing debt, 10 years for U.S. paper. Pretty incredible. Just a couple years ago, Spain was on the brink of financial oblivion. And so now we see just how crazy the credit market has become. Investors willing to lend money to Spain for 10 years and be paid less than what they would be paid for similar U.S. Treasury debt. What do you think about this? Is the psychology, really, you think about it, the psychology of the bond market has completely changed. And it's really risk on, the risk on environment where there just is a very careless attitude about what type of credit risk investors really are facing. So what do you think about that? Also, we saw a high ruling on IRAs by the U.S. Supreme Court saying that creditors can take certain assets from inherited individual retirement accounts to cover bankruptcy-related debts. But bankruptcy protection still does apply for up to $1.3 million in IRA assets, according to the U.S. Supreme Court. More millionaires have been benefiting, obviously, from the run in stock prices. That has boosted global financial wealth by around 15% as of late last year. That's according to Boston Consulting. They do an annual wealth report. The number of millionaire households has reached 16.3 million, or 1.1% of all U.S. households. Now, taking a look at what some of the key financial markets have been up to so far in 2014, these are year-to-date figures. And here we are, 6 months into the year. Look, see, and compare the performance of your own investment portfolio versus some of these major benchmarks. This is why I give you these numbers, not to kill time, but so that you can compare the performance of your own portfolio. And the question is, are you keeping up or are you lagging? Are you falling behind? Now, if your portfolio cannot keep up, if it cannot match these particular year-to-date numbers, when I say year-to-date, I mean since the beginning of the year through the close of June 13th. So that's, what, six months here now into the year. And if your portfolio cannot keep up or if it's lagging, you've got some issues. You've got some things that need to obviously be corrected. So ticker symbol VTI, which tracks total U.S. stock market, ahead by almost 5%. VEA is the ETF that tracks international stocks from developed countries around the world, like Japan, United Kingdom, Canada, VEA ahead by almost 3%. So we see U.S. stocks continuing to outperform marginally international stocks. Emerging market stocks are sizzling. VWO is now ahead by 6%. VWO tracks emerging market stocks from places like China, Russia, Brazil, and what a reversal we have seen in emerging market countries this year, which were laggards but now are leaders. Ticker symbol GLD follows the price of gold, up almost 6%. We saw a nice little bounce this past week in gold as there is some jitters about the situation, not just in Ukraine, but also in the Middle East, and particularly Iraq, and potential military action there by U.S. To aid Iraq in eradicating jihadists. So some concern there, not just from the gold market, but also we see oil prices rising. That, by the way, has been a great sector too. XLE, which follows energy stocks, has been on the rise as of late. And XLE is actually one of the best performing industry sectors in 2014 within the S&P 500, ahead by 9.5%. And could be a prelude of more gains ahead, especially if oil prices continue higher. Ticker symbol BND follows the total U.S. bond market, ahead by just over 2%. And VNQ, which follows REITs, U.S. REITs, also known as Real Estate Investment Trust, ahead by just over 15% since the beginning of the year. And the low rate environment has really benefited these rate-sensitive sectors like REITs. And another one is utilities, XLU, which has been a star performer. XLU tracking S&P utilities ahead by 13.5% since the beginning of the year. 877-711-5611. That is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. If you're just joining us, we're here. If you want to talk about a particular stock or mutual fund or ETF or investment strategy, coming up on today's show, we'll be talking with Andy O'Rourke of Direction Investments coming up in a little bit, so stay tuned for that. We'll be getting into strategic beta. What does that mean? We'll also talk about the iBillionaire Index and a portfolio report card for JP in Virginia. We're going to give you the dirty and the fun details of his investment account coming up next. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right, before we get into JP and Virginia's investment portfolio, I want to read a quick tweet from Daryl Army. He sent me a question at my Twitter handle, which is at Index Show, and I encourage all of our listeners to follow me there, tweet the program 24/7. You can send questions, comments, complaints. So Daryl Army, he asks, are high bond fund inflows a contrarian signal or just a reality of aging demographics? Well, the answer is probably both, Daryl. And I have been making the point, focusing on the contrarian indicator part of the equation, that investor flows into bond funds have been exceeding that of stock funds. And we've seen this even though stocks continue to outperform the broad U.S. bond market. And the fact is that it is a contrarian indicator when we see retail mutual fund investors pouring more money into bond funds than stock funds. And also it's a signal, a potential signal, that stock prices can indeed move higher than they are today. What I would like to see if I'm a bear is I want to see people pouring more money into stock funds, chasing stock returns, versus what we see right now, they're pouring money into bond funds. So I think from a contrarian perspective, that indicates that stock prices can indeed move higher. Of course, we have to let prices dictate the final answer on what the that will turn out to be. So that's why we always watch prices and we use contrarian indicators in conjunction with prices to make a final determination on how we position our money. 877-711-5611. That's the number. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. Ron at indexshow.com is my email address. Well, let's begin with today's portfolio report card for JP in Virginia. He and his wife are both 51. They've got a $1.2 million investment account, which is divided into three different types of accounts. They've got a Fidelity 401k plan, they've got a TD Ameritrade Roth IRA, and then a TD Ameritrade joint account. And I had a chance to talk with JP rather extensively about his overall investment strategy. He is rather aggressive in his strategy. For most of his investment portfolio over the past several decades, he has kind of summarized very neatly how he's been investing. But more recently, over the past 7 years, he has been reading a lot about index investing and ETFs and reading financial blogs and on the benefits of indexing. And so he figured that it would be time to take back control of his investment account from his broker or financial advisor. He's very slow in making that move, but he just because he couldn't convince his wife that it was the right move. So he finally made the move, and now he's managing all of his money himself in a diversified portfolio of ETFs. Now, he has 17 ETF positions scattered across these three different accounts, the TD Ameritrade, the Fidelity 401k, and then, of course, the other TD Ameritrade, the Roth IRA. So let's begin by looking at the first category, which is diversification. And all of you by now should know my definition of diversification, which is a low-cost market exposure to all the major asset classes. Now, that includes not just U.S. stocks, but also international stocks, emerging market stocks. We also have bonds, TIPS, also known as Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. We don't want to forget about real estate, which is an important asset class. And then, of course, you've got cash and commodities. So that pretty much covers it. Now, taking a look at JP's portfolio, he's got exposure to pretty much all these areas. He's got U.S. stocks in all different sizes, large, mid, small. He's also got growth, value. Same thing for international stocks. He's got value along with growth, and he's even got some small cap international and small cap emerging market stocks. That's good. He's also got exposure to bonds, some exposure to international bonds along with emerging market bonds. Actually, EMB, which does cover emerging market bonds. And he's also got some exposure to high yield, which focuses on the higher risk end of the bond market. So he's got exposure to all these areas, also tips. So I see that he's done a pretty good job. He also has REITs, ticker symbol VNQ, VNQI. Those are two areas he holds in his 401k plan. So he does a very good job, I think, in terms of diversification. The only area that he's really missing exposure to is commodities. I don't see any type of broad exposure to commodities whatsoever. And I think that, to me, is the biggest red flag in terms of diversification with this portfolio. And I would like to see at least some, even if it's very, very small portion of exposure to commodities. So in terms of diversification, pretty good job, JP. Taking a look at the next area, let's look at cost. And here, too, we want to, as investors, deliberately minimize the impact, the negative impact of investment fees, along with taxes, commissions, all of that stuff. And JP does an outstanding job, I gotta say. I mean, he's got 17 different ETFs, and all of them have expense ratios of under 0.5% for the most part. And then the other thing, too, I should mention is that he's got TD Ameritrade taxable and Roth IRA account, and then the Fidelity 401k plan. And then he's taken advantage. Both of these companies, Fidelity and TD Ameritrade, have commission-free ETF trading. So he's strategically positioned his portfolios in such a way that he's able to take advantage of that commission-free trading so that when he executes a trade, he's not paying any commission. So very smart in terms of minimizing the impact of trading costs, and especially with that 401k plan, because typically with a 401k plan, you are reinvesting money every month. You deposit, you dollar cost average, and that can become very expensive in a 401k plan when you're incurring trading commissions every single time you make a purchase. So in this case, with JP's account, he's taking advantage of the commission-free ETF trading, which is very smart. So not only is he keeping his investment expenses low by owning ETFs with very low expense ratios, he's got mostly iShares ETFs, but he's also taken advantage, like I said, of the commission-free trading, and that's very, very smart. So on cost, he does an outstanding job. Now, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. We're doing a portfolio report card for JP in Virginia. He's 51 years old. His wife is also that same age. They've got a $1.2 million investment account divided into a 401k plan, a Roth IRA, and a joint account. So we looked at cost. We looked at diversification. Pretty good job so far, JP. So we're going to take a look at three final areas. We're going to look at taxes, we're going to look at risk, and then we're going to look at performance. And then we're going to give JP's investment portfolio in aggregate final grade. Will he get an A, B, C, D, or F? Well, we hope he gets an A or a B. And if he does, that would be an outstanding grade. And if you'd like to get a portfolio report card, I send this out, this portfolio challenge to all of our listeners. If you get an A, when you take Ron DeLegge's portfolio report card, I pay you $100. Go to etfguide.com and just click on my picture, and you will be able to qualify for that offer of $100 if you score an A on my portfolio report card. Well, coming up next, we've got Andy O'Rourke, who will be joining us. He's with Direction Investments. This is the Index Investing Show, and I'll be right back.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
How can you maximize the multiplicity of investment opportunities that arrive each and every day? Direction Investments has a broad suite of highly liquid institutional-style alternative investment strategies. From leveraged ETFs to index-based alternative mutual funds, Direction has strategies that help investors to manage risk-adjusted performance through evolving market conditions. We're pleased to have with us Andy O'Rourke. He's the managing director at Direction Investments. They've got $8.3 billion of assets under management. DirectionInvestments.com is the website. Andy, great to have you with us. Welcome to the Index Investing Show.
Thanks very much, Ron. It's great to be here.
An important invest strategy or trend that is still unfolding and getting bigger every single day is something called strategic beta. How do you define strategic beta? And do you think that more investors ought to be incorporating strategic beta into their plan?
Yeah, sure, Ron. Thanks for the question. Yeah, and in fact, even the names that we are choosing for this particular category are evolving. Some are referring to this as smart beta. We like the term strategic beta because it focuses on the strategies within them. Other people refer to them as factor-based ETFs. But whatever you call them, essentially what we're talking about here are ETFs that are based on and tracking rules-based indexes. So instead of it being an index that traditional index that is just looking to track the performance of a particular asset class or country sector or what have you, no matter what it does, these particular indexes are seeking some sort of a result or some sort of an outcome, whether it be seeking to achieve some alpha or risk diversification, income, that sort of thing. They are actually looking to perform based on, like I say, these rules-based indexes that are being created.
Andy O'Rourke, Managing Director of Direction Investments, joining us. Now, you kind of alluded to some of the strategic beta or alpha seeking strategies there. So my next question is, what does Direction Investments offer in this regard? What type of funds do you have tracking these strategies?
Yeah, we have a handful of funds here. You mentioned alpha seeking. One of the ones that we're looking at there is a fund that we refer to as the Direction All Cap Insider Sentiment Shares. So this is an ETF that has that's tracking a strategy that, again, is baked into an index, a series of rules that is trying to identify the buying sentiment of corporate insiders. So if you think about the higher-ups at companies, what they're actually required to do is when they're trading their own company's stock on the secondary market, they're required to disclose that to the SEC. So that we're able to create an index that looks at these disclosures and identify which of those corporate insiders are buying significant amounts of their company stock. And the idea there is if they're doing it, they're kind of in the know, hence the ticker. Well, the ticker for this particular fund is KNOW. Then we see that as a particularly good sign. That's the basis for isolating the stocks that are selected within the ETF. And in addition to that, we also look at analysts' ratings on these stocks and come up with weightings for 100 stocks to make up the particular index.
I was doing some research and came across the iBillionaire Index, which also aims to generate alpha or market-beating returns. So just tell us a little bit more about the iBillionaire Index. How does it work?
Yeah, the index is interesting, and you know, for full disclosure, we have filed with the SEC to create an index. To create an ETF that tracks this rules-based index. Not a whole lot I can say about the fund at this point, but I can tell you the general concept of that index is a little bit similar to what I described with our KNOW fund, but instead it's looking at the trading activities of financial billionaires, so billionaires that are focused in the financial sector, like maybe a Warren Buffett, for example, and then takes a look at their buying activities and then has a whole host of methodology around trying to select those stocks based on their weightings and their performance to identify holdings within the index. And it, as you say, it seeks alpha. It tries to outperform the broader market as measured, say, by the S&P 500.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. Pleased to have with us Andy O'Rourke. He's the managing director at Direction Investments. Go there, directioninvestments.com. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the S&P 500 Volatility Index, also known as the VIX, which recently hit 52-week lows. And although there hasn't been much stock market volatility, we know that it will definitely return eventually. But instead of scrambling to limit volatility when it finally hits, savvy investors prepare ahead. And the Direction S&P 500 Index Volatility Response Shares, as ticker symbol VSPY, takes a really a unique approach to limiting the impact of higher volatility. Tell us more.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, the idea behind this particular fund is recognizing the fact that volatility is present often within the equity markets. It can come and come out of nowhere at any point in time. So what you want to do is to be able to react to that appropriately, in the general sense that volatility can be particularly damaging to an equity portfolio. And in fact, oftentimes volatility is a precursor for a bear market. So the particular fund that we've launched, the VSPY, strives to look for the opportunity to be protective at times when volatility rises. So the very simple concept here, the index for the fund looks at volatility levels. And essentially, you can think about it this way. If volatility levels, as measured by standard deviation in the market, is at 15 or below, you're basically investing in an S&P 500 index fund. If it's above that, the fund will formulaically pull back away from the S&P 500 and invest portion of the portfolio into treasuries as a way to be defensive when volatility is rising, and will adjust accordingly based on those volatility levels.
Yeah, and that's a great way for people. You know, there's constantly that emotional battle that investors have, and they don't have to play that game with trying to decide, well, do I invest in stocks or do I go to cash? This is like you had mentioned earlier, going off the theme of rules-based investing, very systematic, very disciplined way to be invested in the market. Again, that's
right.
Ticker symbol VSPY. Andy O'Rourke at Direction Investments joining us, directioninvestments.com. U.S. short-term interest rates have been stuck near 0% for a while, and there's a lot of smart people, Andy, that believe rates will remain low at least for a few more years. Income investors have been looking at higher-yielding sectors like Master Limited Partnerships, also known as MLPs. We've got the Direction Zacks MLP High Income Shares ETF. That's ticker symbol ZMLP, which targets this particular high-yielding sector. Talk about this particular fund.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, again, still with the same theme here, we're building a rules-based index that, in this case, is its goal is to seek an outcome of higher income, something that you know people are really working hard to find these days. And as you mentioned, definitely some opportunity for that within the MLP space. And so we built that into an ETF structure, which is a C corporation structure. So it it gives people access to this asset class that sometimes they aren't able to get in that particular structure. It means they don't have to deal with cumbersome K-1 tax filings. Gives them the typical liquidity and transparency, so you know what you own within the ETF structure, and it has done a very nice job since it's launched producing a good level of income.
Andy O'Rourke with Direction Investments is with us, directioninvestments.com. That's D-I-R-E-X-I-O-N investments.com. Andy, going back to 1974, there have been seven bull market rallies in the S&P 500 of 20% or more without a 20% correction. And although the current run in the S&P 500 from March 2009 lows has been long and impressive, it still doesn't match the 228% gain from 1982 to 1987 or that marvelous 582% gain from 1987 all the way to 2000. Now, Direction has two ETFs to play the long and the short side of the S&P 500 trade. Tell us more.
Yeah, that's right. It's actually, in fact, as of recently, we have three, because what we offer at this point are leveraged access to the S&P 500 in both a bull three times leverage fund, as well as a bear going inverse three times leverage fund. And more recently, we've also just launched a bull two times leverage fund. And the idea here is with a leverage product, if you're looking to be efficient with your use of capital, but get magnified exposure to those particular asset classes, either in a bull or a bear direction, you're able to do that. So lots of different ways you can get exposure to the S&P 500. You can buy a non-leveraged fund. Let's say you were trying to get $100,000 worth of exposure to the S&P 500. You could do it with $100,000 in SPY. You could do it with $50,000 in our 2X bull ETF, or you could do it with about $33,000 in our 3X ETF. All the exposure is the same, therefore all the risk is the same, but you're using your capital a little bit differently and freeing up some to maybe invest in other types of asset classes to diversify your portfolio a little bit more. The one thing I do want to mention, though, as we talk about leveraged funds, is that you know these are truly meant for short-term trading situations. Those that use them are knowledgeable about how leveraged funds work. They need to be. And they are monitoring them very closely. So we definitely recommend that. They can be very useful tools, particularly in the scenarios like you're mentioning. I think a lot of people are wondering when you know this rally might end. Using a hedge with a bear version of this fund may help protect you as you determine whether this is a you know one-day turnaround or a more systematic turnaround in the markets.
Right. And those ticker symbols again, SPXL, SPUU, and then SPXS. And again, those are the leveraged S&P 500 ETFs. And of course, the benefit there, as Andy mentioned, not having to go or use margin to buy into some of these funds. You can use a lot less capital and still get the leveraged exposure that you're looking for to the S&P 500. Great ideas and great interview. Andy, thanks again for taking the time to be with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Andy O'Rourke, Managing Director at directioninvestments.com. I'm Ron DeLegge. You're listening to the Index Investing Show, and I'll be right back after this break. Go nowhere!
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Okay, before we finish JP's portfolio report card, I want to give you a quick update on the situation in Ukraine. According to Bloomberg News, pro-Russian rebels have shot down airplane, killing 49 Ukraine servicemen. That's the most casualties since this conflict began. And taking a look at the performance, though, of Russian stocks, which at the beginning of this crisis were suffering, but have now, over the past 3 months, surged 21%. RSX, which is the ETF tracking Russian stocks, is ahead 21% over the past 3 months. And the Russian Bull 3X shares, which is offered by Direction, ticker symbol RUSL, ahead by 64% over the past 3 months. This is definitely a very, very volatile asset class, but one that has favored bulls over the past several months. So I guess war is bullish if we take a look at what's going on in Russian stocks. Let's finish our show with JP's portfolio report card. We're going to give him a final grade. We're going to take a look at three final categories of his portfolio. And just to give you a quick recap, he's 51 years old. His wife is also that same age. And he has been married for 27 years. He has two daughters. One will be a sophomore in college. The other will be a junior in high school. He spent 20 years in the Air Force. He retired in 2005. He receives a pension, gets around $40,000 a year, and he works for a small company that since 2005 has given him some wonderful benefits. He gets a 401k plan, and he has been able to accumulate just over, almost $600,000 in that Fidelity 401k plan. So a pretty nice sum of money there, and he's been a very good saver, and he's also very well organized with his investments, so I have to commend him on that. We already looked at diversification and cost of JP's $1.2 million investment portfolio. That's what he has. It's scattered across the Fidelity 401k plan, TD Ameritrade Roth IRA, and a TD Ameritrade joint account. So he did well in those two areas. Let's take a look at taxes. And here, what we want is an investment arrangement that is tax savvy and limits the negative impact of taxes on you, the investor. So in this case, we don't want to see lots of mutual fund distributions happening or lots of short-term capital gains happening or an arrangement of investments that, again, doesn't benefit you, doesn't limit your tax liability. So with JP's investment portfolio, he does a very good job. He has a very, very savvy arrangement. Here's what he's done. He's taken his bonds and his REITs. REITs, remember, is Real Estate Investment Trust. He's arranged them purposely to be invested in his tax-deferred 401k plan, which is very smart. Then he's assembled his stock investments, his ETFs that own stocks. He's put those in his taxable account. Why is that smart? Well, most of the return from bonds and REITs comes in the form of income, which is taxed at a higher rate, which makes bonds and REITs ideally suitable for tax-deferred accounts. And that's exactly what he's done. He has got what they call smart asset location. It's not just smart asset allocation, but smart asset location in order to reduce his tax liabilities to the maximum. And he's done a great job of that. So good job on taxes. Next up is risk. JP, as I mentioned, is 51, along with his wife. And although he plans to retire in 6 to 10 years, he told me he feels that he has a 30-year investment time horizon. So that means he can afford to be more aggressive by owning a higher percentage of stocks. So his overall allocation across these three accounts with the $1.2 million, he's got around 74% in U.S. and international stocks with 16% in bonds and then 10% in cash and money market assets or money market funds. This is definitely a very aggressive investment mix for someone 51 years old and even someone that considers themselves an aggressive 51-year-old investor. This probably, in my view, is even probably more aggressive than JP realizes. And there's two main problems I see. Number one, if we get a repeat scenario of a 40 to 50% decline in stocks. And we've experienced this already twice over the past 15 years. JP's exposing his portfolio to around $400,000 approximately in potential losses. That's a very big hit. And it would take his $1.2 million portfolio back under $1 million. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is the idea that, well, if that happens, stocks are going to bounce back really fast. Well, we don't know that. We don't know that. In fact, look at that 1966 to 1982 period. See how stocks were dead money for, what, 16 years. It took stocks quite a while to bounce back. And what I'm saying here is usually we take more risk than we know, and we don't realize it until it's too late. So in this case, I just think JP, I know he's aggressive, but I just think he's just being a tad bit too aggressive, and I would just like to see him dial it back just a little bit. So taking a look at the final area, and this is really the bottom line, is performance. And JP, as I mentioned, he's got 17 different ETFs. All of them are index-based funds. That means, well, his performance is going to be very closely tied to what major benchmark indexes are doing. And I look at this approximate blended return of the total U.S. stock market and the total U.S. bond market over the past year, same time frame that we're looking at for JP's investment portfolio from May of 2013 to May of 2014, a 16% return, and JP's kept up with that, which isn't a surprise because he's using 100% index funds and index ETFs. So he does a good job in terms of performance, and I don't think in the future his performance will veer too far away from what the major indexes are doing, just because he has taken a deliberate step to make sure he doesn't underperform the market by owning index ETFs. Very, very wise course he has chosen. And he is self-managing this account, and so that certainly makes it a lot easier for him to not have to chase individual stocks or not have to chase fund managers and find out which ones are performing best this year and which ones are retiring and which ones got hit or rolled over by a truck. So none of that are things that JP has to worry about. So my final report card for JP is a B+, which is an outstanding score. Now, I know he's probably disappointed. He's like, Ron, why didn't you give me an A? And he came close. I have to say he came awfully, awfully close. I see a lot of really good things, though, about JP's portfolio. First of all, he's well organized. I mean, he sent me so many details. What I shared with you on today's program is probably 40 to 50% of what he sent me about his portfolio. He's just incredibly detailed. So he's well organized. That's outstanding. He's well diversified. Of course, I'd like to see him have a little bit of exposure to commodities. Him and I disagreed on that point a little bit. He's not a big fan of commodities. He's also very tax savvy in his approach. He's minimizing his investment costs, but he's got some weaknesses. He's got a lot of positions to manage. He's got 17 different ETFs. I think he can cut that down to maybe around 10 to 12 positions to minimize the amount of work and the amount of positions that he's managing. I think he can also minimize his risk. I think he's probably taken a tad bit more risk than he really knows or understands. And typically, we don't realize it until the market has sunk 40 or 50%. And then we realize, oh, well, maybe I took more risk than I really should have been taking. So I think that's something that he definitely needs to dial down. I don't want to see his $1.2 million investment portfolio go back under a million. I really don't. Now, I know we're going to have some volatility in the market, but I just don't want to see him take that kind of hit. And then the other thing, too, is, which I don't think I mentioned, that in the U.S. equity area, he's got a lot of value and growth funds. He doesn't own any blended funds. He's dividing them up between value and growth. Again, I think he can probably just go with an equal-weighted fund, something like ticker symbol RWR, that may accomplish the same mission without so many different positions. Well, that does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Join us again next week. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.